Hey everyone, welcome to the Christmas season. We are getting ready to start a brand new series on the CSF As You Go podcast that's taking us through the season of Advent. We are so excited. We're not going to blow everything about what Advent is, but basically at its core, Advent is a season of waiting. And specifically, we typically celebrate Advent in the Christmas season of awaiting that day, and we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so we are, for the next 4 weeks, going to focus on four words that often are associated with Christmas: hope, peace, joy, and love. And so we hope that this series is a good one to kind of just be a reflection time or maybe a study time to help you embrace the Christmas season further. And so today we bring you a podcast devoted to hope. Hey Adam and Hannah, we are starting a new podcast series in Advent, which I am so thankful about, that we can move into a new season and just look at Advent, which is kind of fun because we love Advent around here.
Yeah,
we do.
So today we are talking specifically into hope, and we have 4 weeks of this where we're talking about hope, peace, joy, and we're going to end with love. But as we talk about hope today, it goes hand in hand pretty well with like what Advent is, which Advent, if you don't know what it is, it's basically, Advent means arrival. And so it's like a waiting season of where we are waiting the day where we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so there's an awesome advantage we have to take time like the weeks leading up to Jesus's birth, specifically like this is 4 weeks, where we get to just focus our time on awaiting that day of celebration of Jesus. And so there might be some introspection that happens. We have like our 25-day guide, which we'll have in the show notes. That's like a devotional that this year it kind of goes through the biblical story that shows that how it points to Jesus's birth, Christmas does. And so we're excited about that. But today I want to find out, like, what is your experience with Advent?
My experience is not much. It's like, I remember growing up in church, like we'd have the wreath and like the different colored candles, and like we had that, but I didn't ask questions and I was like, oh, it's just what we do. But honestly, until I started working here, so like now I'm in my third year, and a student and Ben like developed like an Advent devotional. I'm like, it's been a while since I've even like heard this word, and you see things about it. And so I would say pretty minimal yet familiar, but never really like diving deep into it until like a couple years ago. But I do have an Advent candle holder and wreath in my shopping cart on Amazon.
That's awesome.
But it's a commitment, so I'm not ready to like check out yet.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I didn't really grow up in a tradition that had much to do with Advent. I feel like we were kind of in like the Advent season was like welcomed in, but then that was kind of, it was like Christmassy time, you know, kind of thing, and not much of a formal situation. I grew up, though. I have an aunt who, to this day, she kind of, for my kids now, but like she sends us an Advent calendar, which was always a really fun thing as a kid, and now as like a parent too, where that comes, and daily, you know, we like open this up and there's a scripture verse or something that's in there that kind of walks us through the story. So that was kind of my like childhood situation. But like as I've gotten older and kind of see a little more beauty in traditions like that, and just like walking through a daily basis for like expectation and hope kind of thing. That's been something we've tried to kind of do as a family a little bit more, and even if it's like fun little things to do with our kids, like we try to, on a daily thing, remember and also like actively participate, I guess, in some Advent style things as a family. So
Yeah.
It's been a growing thing for us.
Yeah, good. That's cool. Yeah, for me, I remember growing up, we knew Advent because my grandma would always give us like a gift the four Sundays leading up to Christmas.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's just like, oh, Advent, yeah.
Presents.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but really, I'd say it's been like more so within the past few years of actually getting to like embrace the Advent season of like mm-hmm. a time of learning and reflection, right. With like our Advent series that or devotional that we put out every year, or like doing a YouVersion study, like that's really helped honestly just like the season, I feel like, as a whole to have like the full Christmas experience. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it makes the Christmas day a bit more meaningful because mm-hmm. it's like we've led up to this day and now we get to celebrate what we've been adventing, to use that word, right. for. Mm-hmm. And so I love Advent season because I think it's a good time for us to remember. Like, it's a good time in like a season where like we're buying Christmas gifts, we're mm-hmm. busy, typically a busier season, and it's a good like reminder of like, let's take it a few steps back mm-hmm. to focus on what really matters, which is Jesus. Yeah. That's why we have this time anyways. So that's good. So in looking at hope, which is this week, it's like the Hebrew word used in the Old Testament is yachal, which means to wait for, and goes hand in hand with Advent. And so for us, like, what's the wisdom that God may want us to learn in the season of waiting for Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus?
Expectation, I used that word earlier, but that for me is something that has been a little more strong mm-hmm. in like Advent in recent years. And just, I think that there's like, to go too far from Advent, but I think we often forget about the expectation of like Christ's return again, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. And it's a good reminder for me in that of just like, oh yeah, like day to day is super important. Living out our lives for Jesus is super important, but don't forget this expectation and hope that we have for a second, second coming mm-hmm. of Christ, the return. So I think there's some wisdom to gain in that, as far as just like how we go about our daily lives, just thinking about expectation.
Yeah, the word that I think is like anticipation. Like, I don't know. It's funny. Like, Ben, I think you talked into a little bit already, but like, this season and everyone's job, not just the campus ministry, but it's like boom, boom, boom. And then like even from here on out, whenever we come back from Thanksgiving break, it's like, all right, here's all the rest of the events. Okay, and go. Okay, suddenly stop. Okay, yeah. now like Christmas traveling and all this, you know, birthday parties and all these things. And it makes me think of like, so my husband's in the military and he says this all the time. Like, I'll ask, like, how the weekend was, and he'll be like, well, it was a lot of hurry up and wait. Mm. And I feel that, like, in my core of, like, hurry up and wait. And then the wait is so uncomfortable and good and hard. But it's like, well, what am I waiting for? Is it just for the next thing? Or do I have that anticipation of, like, excitement and like what is worth waiting for? You know, is it another task or is it like waiting for something better and bigger? So that's not quite an answer to the question, but that's just where my that's just where my thoughts are. Yeah. But like what, like, I don't know, what am I waiting for? Mm-hmm. Like, hurry up and wait for what? Mm-hmm. Just the next thing or something worthy?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good piece of wisdom. What are we waiting for? Is it like we're waiting for Christmas Day to mm-hmm. open the gifts mm-hmm. and you know, take them back with the gift receipt so we can get the cash? Right. Yeah. Is it, you know, like, are we actually knowing why we're celebrating mm-hmm. Christmas and why we do this year after year and not just like this one time thing?
Mm-hmm.
Why it's been around for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
It's right. Like understanding that reason of why are we waiting? And like with what Adam said, like it's an expectation of what is going to happen, but then even more so like the return.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're in a way still in this season of Advent because he's going to come back and restore all things. And so like it's like a twofold thing there, like mm-hmm. celebrating his birth, but then we get to look ahead as well. And so yeah, that's great. I think that those are definitely things that we can take away from this season of Advent. Mm. So outside of the Christmas holiday, which is like when hope is really poured into, obviously like Easter too, but I feel like it's a little bit different. But outside of maybe we could throw both of those in there. Outside of Christmas and Easter, mm-hmm. What do we hope or wait for?
I don't want to start off like too morbid, but it is what it is. It's all in like a good like attitude, but like there are just some days and I'm like, Jesus, come quickly. I'm like, how soon, Lord? Like, yeah. Oh, I'm tired and I'm sick and I'm hungry and I'm like, I'm ready to be satisfied like completely and wholly, and like I'm desperate for more than a glimpse and a taste. You know, like, I get, like, I'm ready to see Jesus, but until then, like, it's worth waiting for, and there's good work to be done here, and, like, thank God that we're entrusted to do that, but I don't know. Yeah, and just, like, I get excited about, like, conferences and get excited about birthdays and like those big events, and it's like, I don't know, the fact that those things are like reoccurring too, it's like, yeah. I get excited for those things. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm ready for another taste, like, you know, like it's coming. But
how spiritual are you thinking here?
Yeah.
This question,
how spiritual
what are level of depth?
I mentioned like the second coming of Jesus, obviously, like that's kind of on my mind with this, of like remembering for that to be a regular, consistent hope, not to just get like so wrapped up in life and, you know, the problems of life or mm-hmm. the, you know, like whatever the cares and struggles, but to remember like Jesus has promised this, and you have, you know, scripture saying like God's not slow, you know, in keeping his promise, but he's like waiting in order that more people would come to him, and like holding fast to those things. But I think like from a hope and waiting, you know, there are things with ministry, you know, of just kind of there's like a birthing process of sometimes, you know, sometimes of like just seeing what God's doing in people,
mm-hmm.
and we don't always get to like experience the like the fruit. Yeah, thank you, Hannah. Of, you know, of it, that may happen later. Sometimes we get to experience the fruit of other people's labors. You know,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's both. But like expect, you know, keeping that expectation up of like God is doing something. There is a seed that is growing. We're seeing these things, and like waiting, you know, for that. I think it's part of that. I feel like I have that with my kids too, you know, of just like thinking about the future and what are they going to become, and, you know, how are they going to grasp some of these things,
mm-hmm.
just like kind of being or making an attempt at patience in the midst of that, you know, of like expectation.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I've always wondered why I am a geek for when like villains turn good,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. I think it's that aspect of like kind of us as well with Jesus, where we were dead in our trespass and sin, and we're made alive in Christ. And like, that's such a good hope. I think it's like that scene of like, they're turning from who they once were to become something new, and finding like their, in a way, like their redemption story, or seeing hope and a greater, the greater promise than of living and purpose for humanity in general. And I think that might be like a hidden gospel message, which maybe the Hollywood studios aren't intentionally trying to do. But I think like that's really a really cool thing. And that's like not the only place that I see hope, but I think that's like when we see that in actual people too, it is really cool, where it's like, I can't remember who it is, but like you hear, it's not just one person, but you hear of like missionaries who's like had family get like murdered by these tribes, and then they end up like befriending people who actually murdered their friend, their family.
Right.
And like, I would like to say the only people that I really, that it makes sense for that to happen is people who follow Jesus. And like, that's not the only people, but like, you know what I mean? Like there's, in what world do we think of that actually happening? And reconciliation is a beautiful gift. And when that happens, I think that shows like Jesus is meaning what he said, to restore all things. And so that helps me hold on to hope when, so that's good.
Just say like, and that's like a powerful thing. Hope that doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
we're talking about the missionaries, you know, and like these situations where it's like, that's a huge like testimony, whether people are gonna like it or not. You know, it's like a testimony of like what God's done in people's lives. If it's like, I have no idea why you're like hoping in this situation, or why you can love this person who killed, you know, your family, why you can be happy that they're now your brother or sister, kind of thing. You know, part of me is like, I can't even like imagine. I'm not been in that situation, but also it's like, how powerful is that, you know, thing that talk about like peace that surpasses all understanding, this hope that doesn't make sense, but yet it's real and vibrant, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's good. So what are maybe some stories in the Bible that we see where God displays his hope for his people throughout scripture?
You got anything, Anna? Because this is about to unleash a lot for me.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's a softball. Here's one. I don't know. Well, my favorite book of the Bible is Lamentations, and I feel like I'm such a bummer today. Sorry, I'm not trying to be.
Let's talk about death and sadness.
Let's talk about no hope.
Exactly. So we think, but right smack dab in the middle of Lamentations, and here's why I love it so much. It's like, you read it, and it's like, oh man, like, this guy's going through it. Like, he is sad, like, beyond belief, like, he's like physically sick because of just like how like distraught he is after like the destruction of like the kingdom. And but like right smack dab in the middle says, this is Lamentations 3:22 through 24. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And then this part is, love it. "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." And so, I don't know. The thing with hope, it's so tricky because it's so forward focused. Like it's the future and not like, oh, I hope yesterday was good. You know, it's like, but yesterday, you know what I'm saying? Like you don't really like say things like that. So it's like, you're so looking forward and to the future, and it's like, but I love this scripture because it says like, you know what, the Lord is my portion, even all of this stuff that's happened in the past, and even though I'm like completely heartbroken and devastated and like physically ill because of just how sad I am, like, but you know what? God has proved his faithfulness. He has. He is. Therefore, I will hope in the future. And like, God is good, period. Like, it's just good. I think that helps put things in perspective of like, well, how can I hope? This world is terrible. It's like, well, it always has been. like suffering is not... I'm like, this is not a new problem. So like, let's look like to our ancestors and figure out how they did it. It's like, well, the Lord's faithful.
Lamentations thing sounded like the center of a chiasm to me.
Didn't it? How interesting.
Probably should restrain a little bit, but the...
Let her rip.
We have goodness. It's starting the Bible out. It's like good, great, very good. And then, you know, sin enters the picture. And like, while God is... giving, you know, we can call it the curse or like the consequence of sin, like right there tucked in the middle of that is like this, but there's going to be this offspring that crushes the head of the snake, and Ben talked about that in a teaching recently. But so like even in the moment of like, all right, this is the consequence we're already getting, but I'm going to fix this. I'm like making this right, you know, and that just continue. I mean, everything from Abraham, like through you the world is going to be blessed, to you know, Isaiah, which, you know, we read from quite a bit in around Christmas time. But I love it, always like hits me when Isaiah is like, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them. And seeing that, like Matthew reiterates that, you know, as we're talking about like the birth of Jesus. But even I think like the way that Paul talks, he's talking in 1 Corinthians, you know, 13, there's that whole like faith, hope, love situation. You know, and that one ends with like, love never fails. What happened to faith and hope? It's like, it's going to be fulfilled. Like our faith is going to be sight. Hope is going to be like real, like it's not no longer hope because it's gonna be we're gonna see the culmination of it. I lost the word for it, but you know, it's gonna be satisfied. Like, you can use that word. It's gonna be satisfied, and love remains. So even the way that's talked about, he's displaying that it's like, this is gonna be dealt with, like hope is going to be realized. There's the word. So
yeah, that's cool. That's good. Yeah, I think those are two good stories, or not story, but like explanations of like, in the times where we're suffering, in the times where darkness is plaguing us, we have hope. And then we have like, through the entire biblical story, we have this hope of like one day where we don't have to hope and we don't have to have faith anymore because Jesus is literally there with us. And so, I like the thought of that, and I think that gives us like, during an Advent season, like something to focus on as our hope. So, so a few scriptures. One that talks about like what will be the birth of Jesus, or what was, but at that time was a prophecy, and then one that talks about like the resurrection of Jesus. First, we'll look at Isaiah, and then we'll look at 1 Peter. Isaiah 9:6 says that, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then 1 Peter, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so, maybe something we don't always talk about, but I think should be a little bit more in the church. Like, how are the Resurrection Sunday and birth of Jesus connected? And so Christmas and Easter, how are they connected? And how do they speak to God's yachal, or hope?
Good question. I mean, I feel like that's... I mean, sometimes I... gosh, I need to, like, be smarter to be on a podcast. But, like, I feel like that's it, you know? It's like, you see, like, those are both amazing examples of, like... Like, I mean, Adam just talked about, like, hey, this happened. Like, you know, this is the consequence of sin. But don't worry, I've got you guys. Like, I'm going to fix this. Like, like something good is coming. And then even thinking between, like, the Old Testament and the New Testament, like, however many years of silence there was. I don't know the number. Like, what, 40?
Around
400. 400? Yeah. Four. Add a zero. 400 years of silence. And so think about, like, I mean, generations of, like, I'm sure they were thinking, like, hope is lost. what are we waiting for? Like, I'm sure there were a lot of, like, naysayers and, like, but still, like, people kept the word alive and, like, had a part in that. And, like, God sustained his word and, like, scripture. And so just from, like, you know, kind of big picture of, like, Old Testament to New Testament, it's like, just imagine, like, the excitement of, like, he's here, like, yeah. It's happening, like, it's Jesus, but, and then that promise of, like, ah, he's gonna die for my sin, ooh, thank God, ouch, oh. Yeah, like, there's a lot of feelings with that, but, like, oh, it's here. Like, here's our hope. Like, he's here. I don't know. It's just exciting. I don't know. I just wonder what it would be like to actually be, like, in the time of Jesus and after so much silence and... I don't know. I have a lot of mid-thoughts.
No, that's good stuff. We talk about this at Christmas communion or that last Wednesday a lot, but maybe it's, I don't think this is too bold of a statement, but, like, neither one of those things would matter without the other.
Yeah.
Like, it's like birth of Jesus, if it didn't ultimately end with, end is not the right word, but, like, apex with death and resurrection. Okay, you know, like, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, so that wasn't...
And the death and resurrection could not happen without the birth of Jesus, the Word become flesh, God with us, you know. Yeah. So that's like a connection, you know, that connection point of, like, they require each other for this to be actual hope, in my mind. I think, like, what you're saying, Hannah, you know, in that of... like, how do they speak? That was what you were saying was making me think about, okay, like, back to that darkness of, like, like, maybe where is God? Like, we've been conquered and reconquered and exiled, and now we have more people who have conquered us. And, like, when is God going to bring about this thing? And maybe not as long, but, like, the darkness of, you know, all of the followers of Jesus come to this place of, okay, now he's dead. And the scriptures make it, I mean, at least we're seeing, like, we don't see, like, all these people who are like, oh yeah, he'll be back, you know. It's like, this is done.
Yeah, that's it.
Massive darkness of grief and pain and, like, loss of that they have to sit through, from cross to like open grave. I think, yeah, like, I lost the exact words you said, but that bringing them out of darkness and seeing that hope fulfilled. I think it's like, maybe this is maybe veering a little bit, but even the way God speaks is really interesting to me. You know, like the birth of Jesus, you know, it's like Mary, this nondescript Jewish girl, you mm-hmm. know, like, doesn't seem like there's much of, or, like, there's nothing like, oh man, she's super important person or anything, and she, like, has the, you know, the song she sings about, like, praising God for mm-hmm. picking the lowly, you know, kind of yeah. thing, and the
it's unexpected.
Yeah, and yeah. totally unexpected.
Yeah.
Picking, like, the shepherds to hear, foreign wise men who come yeah. and, like, and dip out, you know, because they don't want to cause problems, and, like, those kind of things. But then, you know, resurrection, and it's, like, the women at the grave, another Mary, you know, like, gets to hear this, who has been this, like, follower of Jesus, but then she takes it back, and they're like, are you sure? You know, like, it, mm-hmm. like, there's yeah. this God speaking his hope through people that would be unexpected. So I think all of that is worth dwelling on, even if I don't have, like, a complete thought here about why, you know. So
yeah, I think that's cool. So, yeah, it's like, I feel like we Advent focus on the birth, and then we go Lent, and then we focus on the death. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool for us to, like, unify those together and see, like, the culmination of, like, yeah, that aspect of, like, you know, God using people who we wouldn't expect to speak, you know, to speak his message to the world. And then, like, thinking of that, you know, like you said, of, like, being all excited, like, oh, this is a guy. And then mm-hmm. it's like, oh, shoot, like, I put him on that cross, you know, because yeah. of what yeah. I did.
Right.
And,
right.
So it's like, yeah, I think those are good connection points that show God's hope. You know, it's not mm-hmm. just him, but it's the people, and mm-hmm. that he uses his message to spread. And so, it's, yeah, that's good. So we've had a lot of content about Advent and hope. And so, for, like, if you had a friend, or how would you help people, like, explain biblical hope to a friend that's, like, curious about that? Like, you know, like, how do you find hope as a Christian, or in the Bible? How do you find hope? Like, how would you define it?
I want to look back at that First Peter quote that Ben read, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. And, you know, Peter's speaking into this, like, a lot of that's weighted for, like, what's to come, mm-hmm. you know, imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, this inheritance. And that's, like, part of that, of, like, we have this hope for the future, for, you know, the come Lord Jesus soon kind of yeah. situation of, like, what that's going to look like for eternity. But I would even want to pull back to, we've been born again into a living hope.
Yeah.
And, there is a, like, a daily hope, not just for the future, but, like, we have, Jesus has more for us than just day-to-day mm-hmm. struggle and, like, staying alive, you know, kind of like he and producing at work or whatever it be, like, we mm-hmm. there's like a living hope that should be coming out of us, kind of thing, and that we're growing in, of, like, life that's lived for God, that's, like, better than what it would be without Jesus in it, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yeah. So you know, as far as, like, metaphor, I don't know, but I think that's an important thing to talk to people about as well, is it's not just, like, you know, there's this random thing out there that's one day, you know, eternity is going to be good. Well, God has, like, good stuff for the world now, like, yeah. redemption for the world, justice for the world, life, joy, all these things are in the now also, mm-hmm. not just them.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's my thought.
Yeah, I think, like, it's just, again, like, it's just good, like, it's perfect, and I've had conversations with friends that are unbelievers, and they're like, well, why do you keep up with this? Like, it seems like there's a lot of rules, and, you know, you hear that often, And I'm like, you're following rules now. Anyways, like, I'm just choosing the ones that mean something. And I'll tell people, and it's hard not to get, like, you know, teary about it. But I'm like, this is what you're looking for. This is what you've been looking for. This is what I look for every day, you know. And again, without that personal aspect of it, I mean, there are some days, if not most days, where it's like, because I do have this hope, like, I can do this. Yeah. You know, because Jesus did take on my sin, I can do this. Like, I don't have to be, like, plagued by guilt or shame or, you know, dishonor or anything, because Jesus is more, and it's everything you've been looking for. And ask questions, be curious, and just find a different set of rules that's worth it, you know. I don't know, just be good and perfect and worth it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for those answers. We're going to do a fun little speed round because it's Christmas season.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited about these. Whoa, whoa. We got some good questions for you all. So, what is your favorite Christmas movie and why?
I have to say it's Elf. It's Elf. I like Elf. Even though some might not like Elf, I'm looking at Adam. It's just a tradition in our family. Like, the first time I saw it was with my grandpa, and he thought it was, like, the funniest thing ever. And whenever he's like, there's four food groups, candy, candy cane, candy corn, and syrup. He would quote that, like, as often as he could. And so it's just a family tradition.
Yep.
And it's adorable.
I've been really into the movie Jingle Jangle lately. The last couple of years. And I've still been in Anna. I told you guys earlier, I'm like, I'm not even sure this actually is a Christmas movie, but it's like Christmassy. And it's just different. Like, it has like a different feel, and the music's great. And
never even heard of it.
I like it. You should watch it.
It sounds made up.
It's not. It's on Netflix.
Everybody should watch it.
Yeah, so there's obviously, like, the funny ones that are good classics, like Christmas Vacation. But I think the one that I come to every year that, like, means a lot of, like, thinking about hope is It's a Wonderful Life, which we talked about before this. Like, technically, it's not a Christmas movie, but there's a lot of, like, Christmassy stuff.
It just happens to take place around Christmas, therefore it's a Christmas scenes, movie.
But I think it's, like, a really good, just a good story of, like, a man who lost hope when, like, things have been going good. He lost hope because of, like, losing all of his money and thinking, like, well, this is it. Like, and so he tries to, you know, take his life to give them, his family, the life insurance to pay for the debt, like, the debt that they had. But then, like, the angel Clarence, like, shows him, like, this is what would happen if you weren't here. And you see, like, so much hope and so much, like, life that he was giving people, that it makes me think of, like, you know, it gives me hope that maybe the life I'm living, trying to be Jesus to people around me, maybe that's something similar in my life too. And so I love that movie every year when we get to watch it. Yeah, that's good. So, favorite Christmas smell.
Ugh.
That was my, like, incognito favorite question.
Yeah. So every year, whenever I put up the tree, every year we put up the tree, like, there's one box that has ornaments from my grandma. My grandma or my aunt? I think it's my grandma. But, like, as soon as you, like, open the box, it's like, oh my gosh, that's grandma's house. And it is, like, the coolest thing. And I'm like, oh, immediately, like, homesick.
Short answer is all of them. But pine, we go pine in our house. I go pine in our house with cleaning products slash sprays slash whatever, and I'm a sucker for pine no matter what, but around Christmas it's pine smell for me.
Yeah, that's cool. I was trying to think. So for me, like, this is a unique smell. Is wrapping paper.
Yeah.
It's like it is a unique smell.
I love the smell of mass-produced printed paper.
Exactly. It's just, I think it's like more of a sentimental thing of like growing up and opening gifts as a kid, but there's something about it that just like, I just love like this, I don't want to, I guess you could say safety of the smell, but like the like, this is the way it seems like Christmas should be.
It's the smell of expectation and hope.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boom. Boom. And then my second favorite, sorry, I'm throwing in one more. It's like a blessing and a curse. It's like Christmas dinner, like where it's like straight up bacon. Or we do brunch, so it's like bacon and all this greasified food. And it's amazing, but then 4 days later, you walk into your bedroom and you still smell bacon. It's like, oh my gosh. What's your favorite thing to eat at a Christmas feast?
This is really weird, but maybe it's not weird, but...
Pine-scented candles.
Pine cone tea. I always knew it was Christmas because growing up we would get a shrimp cocktail platter.
The
West fam does that
thing,
too,
you know, and that's a thing, like my kids love that too, but it's like not super feast oriented, but we always knew it was Christmas.
That's great.
That still for me.
Yeah.
Man, dude, I don't know. I'm also, like, so hungry right now, so I can't, like, pick one thing. Oh, gosh, I don't know. Christmas feast. I don't know. We also don't really have anything, like, tradition-wise, like, regular. It's not, like, every year we have a Christmas turkey or
ham. It could be, like, a double cheeseburger.
Yeah, right. I'll go with cookies. I have a sweet tooth. Any Christmas dessert.
That's cool.
I'm into it.
Yeah. This is... So, I'm going to say bacon because we really don't do bacon except this one day. And my grandma makes up several pounds of it.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, that's probably why we only eat it once a year, because we have like an unlimited buffet of bacon.
Because you gorge yourself on bacon on Christmas.
Yeah, so, and it's like actual pork bacon, not the, well, we make like a turkey bacon, but why would you eat that when you have pork bacon?
It's the real deal.
So I'm a sucker for the bacon. So, last question. What's something that other... So, yes, Jesus gives us hope during this time, but like thinking even maybe on an expansion of that, what's something that gives you hope this time of year that you see in the world?
I think I have to, like, I'll be honest, I feel like I have to search for it this time of year, to be honest. Like, I have to search for hope, because I'm like, why are we so rushed? Why are we so busy? Like, why do we have to schedule drive time? And yeah, but it's like, but then once you're in that space of like, oh, I'm surrounded by people I love, even though they're loud and chaotic and wonderful, but like, I don't know, just being around family, I'm like, oh, this is good. Wait, it gets better? You know, and so it's just like a whole renewal of excitement. It's like, once we're past like scheduling, once we're past like, oh, I can't believe we have to like bundle up, get out of the car, all the, you know, all this stuff. We still have this many people to shop for, whatever. And then like, once you're in this space, or even like, whenever me and my husband are both on break at the same time, I'm like, this is how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, this is good. Like, this is rest. And this is it. Like, we've peaked. Coffee on a cold morning. We've peaked.
Yep. I definitely feel like totally in agreement with that of, like, a glimpse of, like, Sabbath rest and, like, future rest of when in the midst of the bustle, you know, and you kind of get through that, and then there's these moments of just quiet and togetherness and that kind of stuff is like, really kind of on a micro level, like, seeing that and be able to enjoy that. And I think there's something about the global, you know, it's not every single place and every single person, but, like, the global nature of, like, remembering, you know, there's people all over the place that are celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's not just, like, me in my local area or the people I know or just Americans. You know, it's like it's like just having that reminder of, like, hey, like, all of us this one day are like celebrating, not, again, not everybody, but, like, the you know, that nature of the thing. I think I'm just seeing, like, the future all tribe, tongue, and nation kind of idea, unity across borders and time and space kind of thing. So that's a pretty beautiful thing too.
Yeah, that's cool. I love, like, the more nature of, like, giving hearts from people during this time. Like, when I had a retreat day not too long ago, Little Bear Coffee Company had a Christmas tree in there, which it was, like, filled, I can't remember, I think it was, like, the angel tree, where it's, like, these people who are incarcerated can give gifts to their kids, like, you pay for them and stuff, but it's, like, you know, I think that speaks to hope when we see people, like, doing stuff like that, where it's these kids who may not have a Christmas otherwise get gifts, or, like, a family getting a good meal that wouldn't otherwise get, like, a good meal. And so I think the awesome thing, which is unfortunate because it doesn't always happen the rest of the year, but at least this time of year, I think it goes into what you said, Adam, of, like, tribe, nation, tongue, like, being for the people who are in need and loving our neighbors. I think you see that a little bit more this time of year. If we're willing to see, we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Yeah, that's cool. Well, thank you all for joining today as we talked about our first word of hope. So thank you for joining today.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you, Hannah and Adam, for joining the podcast today. And, man, all kinds of stuff about hope. I hope that this has been a good time for you just to maybe hear about hope, what hope is, and how we can be more thinking about hope this week, and just as we continue into the Christmas holiday season and remembering who Jesus is and what he did for us. And so let's focus on hope this week and just continue to see why we do what we do around this time of year, of remembering who Jesus is, what he did for us by coming to earth, and you know, as a humble person and the most humble way, and living the life that we couldn't live, to go to the cross and rise 3 days later, defeating death once and for all. And so let's as this week goes on, remember that hope that we can find in Jesus. So thank you for listening. Just as always, we would love for you to continue to share, review, if you're on a platform that you can review. It just helps the expansion of the podcast. And what we love is just, we're helping college students everywhere. That's all we're about, is helping college students keep their faith as they go throughout their week. And so thank you if you've already done that. And we just pray that this podcast continues to be an encouragement for you throughout your week.